From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. We got a fine show for you today. We have the amazing ballerina Misty Copeland, who'll be playing our game while standing on her toes the whole time. But first, a group of actual social scientists who work at something actually called the Humor Research Lab at the University of Colorado declared that Chicago, our home, is the funniest city in America. Yes. All right, yeah. I guess it's flattering at first, but isn't that like the faintest kind of praise? You got New York, financial and media capital, Washington, seat of political power, Los Angeles, so glamorous, and Chicago, well, you know, Chicago, it's got a great personality. No, really, Chicago, you should talk to Chicago, got a sense of humor, really. Well, we'll try to do what we can to continue our reputation. Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT, that's 1-888-924-8924. Time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Tim Phillips from Naugatuck, Connecticut.
Naugatuck, Connecticut. Naugatuck. Mm. It occurs to me that Naugatuck sounds like it should be most famous for ending the first line of limericks. You know what I mean?
Confuse us with Nantucket.
Yeah, exactly. Well, welcome to the show, Tim. Let me introduce you to our panel. First up, it's a comedian performing at the Put Your Hands Together show at the UCB Theater in L.A. on May 20th. It's Brian Babylon.
Hey,
man, how you doing? Next up, a writer at the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hello. Hi, Tim.
Finally, it's a humorist and author, most recently of Alphabet Her Juice, The Joy of Text. It's Roy Blunt, Jr. Well, welcome to the show, Tim. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle right now is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail or whatever you got. You ready to go?
I am so ready.
Let's hear your first quote.
I have to say, it was a little scary. Too lifelike.
That was the President of the United States, Barack Obama, after meeting a what for the first time in Japan.
A what?
Yes, he met something. He went to Japan and they introduced him to something. What was it?
You know, I honestly don't know.
Well, I'll give you a hint. The president, upon meeting this thing, did not say, "Domo arigato, Mr."
Oh, a robot?
Yes, indeed, a robot. Mr. Obama began his latest tour of Asia with Japan and, of course, was brought by his hosts to see their country's latest, most impressive technological innovation, the same way we might bring a foreign leader to see our KFC double down sandwiches or our General Motors ignition switches, you know. The Japanese, this is true, they threw a state dinner for President Obama. This is one of the first official events for a visiting American president since, as we all remember, the first President Bush in 1992 vomited on the Japanese Prime Minister. And it turns out this is like, they remember this in Japan. This is true. Bushiru is a verb meaning to vomit uncontrollably. So, like, and they were like, they're prepared. Instead of the traditional black tie or even Japanese costume, the prime minister went to the state dinner dressed in a hazmat suit.
So, like, if you go to Wrigleyville, like, at 2:30, it's like, Bushiru, Bushiru, Bushiru. Like,
Bushiru, Bushiru.
Yeah. Okay, you got it. Ooh. We're learning.
Japanese throw up raw things, so that's
different. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't have anything against it.
But you know what? It's less acidic.
I'm really sorry I brought that topic up.
But, yeah, that's what Bush said at the time.
I'm yeah. All right, here's your next quote.
It exploded and shot across the room like a Roman candle.
That was the user of a product which the FDA announced proposed new regulations for this week. What is this product?
I thought that was another reference to the Bush thing.
No.
I honestly don't know that one either.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is new. I'll give you a hint. These things are annoying. You always find your ashtrays filled with e-butts. Mm. It's an electronic thing, but it's not electronic.
Oh, those electronic cigarettes.
Yes, e-cigarettes. Very good.
That was close.
I know. Well, technically, neither do they. That's the point. You may have seen them in parties or at hipster bars. Guys basically smoking little lightsabers, it looks like. These are e-cigarettes. Instead of burning tobacco, they inhale an electrically heated nicotine vapor. It's the coolest way to smoke, assuming we change the rules so the definition of cool includes having a USB port.
Ooh. You know, how can you walk up to a lady at a bar with a USB port? Hey, can I light that for you?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do that.
Here, let me charge your e-cig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Hey, you're right. What would the Marlboro Man think if he sees you smoking a candy-flavored
cigarette? The
Marlboro
Man, I mean, can you imagine how embarrassing that would be? They have, like, you know, like those old commercials for cigarettes, and here comes the Marlboro Man, the cowboy on, like, a Segway with Google glasses charging his e-cig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, enthusiasts of e-cig say they're totally healthy because you're doing away with all the toxic smoke you get from cigarettes. But this week, the FDA proposed rules to finally regulate them like cigarettes. They will have, if this goes through, Surgeon General warnings. In the case of e-cigs, the warning will just say, you are never going to get laid.
That might be the most effective warning of all.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
On anything.
All right, very good, Tim. Here is your last quote.
You got to give this guy a medal just for surviving this.
Now, that was an emergency medicine specialist commenting on a 15-year-old boy who got to Hawaii this week. How?
In the wheel well of an airplane.
Exactly right. Ooh. Very good. A 15-year-old boy who wanted to run away from his family survived a trip from California to Hawaii, hiding in the wheel well of a 747, despite the fact that he had no heat, no oxygen, and had to pay for his snacks with a credit card. People are saying, oh, how could he have gotten to that secure airport and climbed into the wheel well? We know what happened. It was a test run for the airline's new ultra-economy seating. And you think you're getting a deal, but it sucks, right? You find out that unless you pay extra, you have to sit on the middle tire.
But you know what I can see, like, next, this is going to be the next, like, David Blaine magic trick he's going to pull off. One of those, like, those alt magicians.
Well, because no one understands how this kid survived, because it's not pressurized, so there's no air, it's not heated, so it's freezing up there at 30,000 feet. And one of the theories is, and this is true...
He's an X-Man.
No. Oh. Well, I guess technically, Brian, that is one of the theories.
Yeah.
It's your theory.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a boring superpower.
Yeah, dude, I can do nothing until this wheel well lowers.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get you, Magneto, as soon as we land in Topeka. Some people are speculating that the extreme cold put the kid in a state of like semi-hibernation, where his body slowed so much that he didn't actually need the oxygen, which is how he managed to survive. Huh. And you know that if this is true, the airline is going to do that to all of us next time. Keep us docile and keep the baby quiet. Just lower the heat. The kid is fine. He says he had a good flight, except he had to change wheel wells in Phoenix. Always a drag. And really frustrating, the last guy who stowed away in the wheel well already filled out the crossword in the in-flight magazine.
Annoying.
Carl, how did Tim do in our quiz?
3 correct answers, Peter, so I'll be doing the message on his home answering machine or voicemail.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Tim.
All right.
Take care.